Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. While South Sudan is thousands of miles away from Alaska geographically, it is a part of the world that Bethel has kept a close connection to through Dr. Jill Seaman. Dr. Seaman is a physician who splits her time between Bethel and Old Fangok in South Sudan. In Bethel, she works with the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. In Old Fangok, she founded and runs South Sudan Medical Relief, a project focused on providing local health care. Her work has earned her a MacArthur Genius Fellowship, and she joins us just days before leaving Bethel to travel back to continue that work. Dr. Seaman, I know you told me to call you Jill, but I feel more comfortable calling you Dr. Seaman. Thank you so much for talking with me today. Will you start by telling us about what the South Sudan Medical Relief Project is?
Well, good morning, and thank you for this whole program. SSMR, South Sudan Medical Relief, started under another name many years ago in South Sudan. And the reason it started is that I had worked in South Sudan for a long time with Doctors Without Borders, and we treated a Kalazar epidemic. And that was an epidemic where half the population had already died when we started the treatment. When you walk through villages and there was just no people, but maybe ashes from recent fires for trying to make food or sticks for the cows, things like that, because people were either dead or gone. And we treated thousands of people, and the stream of people just seemed never to stop. And it was pretty much a disaster. And 50% of any place dies. You know, the world hears about it, but not in a war zone and in a place where no one knows international language. So it was quite an amazing time. And lots of us became really close to the population we were working with and the staff we were working with. When the Kalazar got better, or at least fewer people were getting sick, Doctors Without Borders had established many treatment centers. Things were going well for that particular outbreak several years later. But then we noticed that so many people were sick with TB, and that wasn't a thing that people would treat in war zones in those days. So a nurse practitioner from Holland, who also worked with Doctors Without Borders, and myself, we moved around with Kalazar a lot, but we were told when we left one place, you saved us from Kalazar, but now we are all dying of TB. You have to help us. In fact, we both moved to a northern place in Sudan where they had the same problem with Kalazar, and people crossed the Civil War front lines to come tell us, really, our people are dying from TB. Can't you help us? So we decided we could do that, and we started to treat in 2000 the TB in the same place where the people had come from and begged us to come. Within a year, MSF took over that project because they changed their policies, MSF being Doctors Without Borders. But by then, another place in Fangak County, which is where we are now, had sent people over saying the community really, really needed us to treat their TB. And thus, we have a project that started as TB treatment.
You are a physician here in Bethel. You work at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. You also work as a physician in South Sudan in Old Fangok with the South Sudan Medical Relief Project. There's currently, of course, this global pandemic that's occurring. How has COVID-19 impacted Old Fangok in South Sudan?
So in South Sudan, there, of course, is no major epidemiologic studies of what COVID has done in terms of illness. But I can tell you that the people in the capital city, where the disease presumably is rampant, they do not have people running out of oxygen. There are very few places you can get oxygen, but they're certainly not overwhelmed. Someone told me there might be 4 or 5 ventilators in the country, but nobody is worried about that because no one has needed one that at least people know about. Even the major organizations do not know that there has been any run on that type of a machine. That is in the capital city. They're trying very hard to prevent people from spreading the virus to places like Old Fangok. but people have come back from North Sudan, which has a huge problem. And so we're pretty sure that some is there. But the biggest impact is not the disease, but what it's done to the infrastructure and what it's done to commerce. And I think in many places in East Africa, and I read about West Africa as well, you know, starvation, because of what people are doing for the epidemic, may actually be worse, or at least an equal partner to causing huge death rates in many places. In our area, people still have their own harvest, and the World Food Program has been incredibly generous. The World Food Program is part of the UN, and they save lives without a doubt. But to get any supplies in, to have the infrastructure work, is really complicated. Just as an example, we were very happy that the South Sudan people decided to have a government presumably at peace, although there's a lot of fighting still going on. It means that the rivers are open and things can come by barge. Items, whatever you need, can come by barge, and they can be trucked into South Sudan. One day, a month and a half ago, the South Sudanese decided that all those truck drivers needed to be tested for COVID, which meant that there were 3 to 4 week delay and a 45-kilometer line of lorries, trucks, at the border, just all the way back into central, practically into central Uganda. That's probably an exaggeration. But they were just sitting there waiting because nobody had the ability to do tests in less than 3 to 4 weeks. So, for instance, our nutritional supplements, Plumpy Nut, were sitting at the border in a lorry for 4 weeks waiting to cross the border. When that happens, you can't get whatever you need to help with education, to help with healthcare, or even foods that you need that aren't available in your area. Those things don't come, building supplies, anything. They don't come because commerce, transport, all those things are not there. And to bring things in by air is 10 times as expensive, and the flights have been canceled internationally. So it becomes a huge problem that way.
When do you head back to South Sudan, and how long have you been in Bethel during your current visit?
I'm planning to go back next week. Of course, that's hoping that all the transport and the border crossings are okay. And I got here in 5th of March. I came back just for a short time, but then my return was canceled because of the airplanes canceled their tickets and then the borders were closed. So I stayed a little bit longer than I expected.
And Dr. Seaman, how long have you been spending time both in Bethel and in South Sudan?
Well, 30 years, actually. It's been 30 years I've been doing both. So I've been quite fortunate, that's for sure.
You've been making this international trip over decades. How are you approaching this current travel that you're planning, hopefully, to do next week amid the pandemic? What considerations are you taking into account that you didn't have to before?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I actually don't, I don't have so many good answers for that. But I think I look at it a little differently. One person told me that I was crazy, and I thought, oh, maybe I am. And then I remembered people have been telling me I've been crazy ever since I started going to South Sudan. There's a war there. You're going to get killed. There's an epidemic there. You're going to get sick. All these things. And it's just amazing. One of the things that I'm a little bit fortunate for is, well, of course, lots of us are fortunate. We grew up in America. We, you know, it's sort of like winning the lottery for lots of us. Many people in America have never had the issue of the uncertainty of knowing if there will be food, knowing if there will be shelter, knowing if they are going to be killed in the next conflict. And perhaps this is the first time in my lifetime when the majority of people in the U.S. don't have the same security as has been in the past. There's this little edge to everybody's life because of this pandemic. And that's not true overseas. And I just realized that it's quite some change to have occurred here. And it's a change that I've lived through back and forth for lots of years. I certainly don't think that I am immune to any disease, but I just protect myself as best I can and know that life happens. And I'm very fortunate that I have the flexibility to be able to do this. And not everybody does. So this is a way forward for me.
It sounds like you're saying that people in the United States are navigating a fear and an anxiety that has existed in a certain way in many parts of the world for a long time that many people in the United States might be experiencing for the first time. Do you have any advice or perspective that you would offer to people who are listening?
Well, first of all, I have to be very clear. I think that everybody responds to where they are in life the best that you can. And I don't think that this is anything that I would wish on anybody at all. I am very sad for what's happening, for all the trauma that's going on in various places, including overseas. But what I can say is that I am the lucky one who gets to at least make an attempt to help people answer the insecurities and their healthcare needs in another place that really, really has needs that maybe I can help with. And I am so happy that I also have a home in Bethel and people welcome me back and let me work at the hospital. So mostly I think I'm very fortunate, and I really wish that the insecurities of the present time will smooth over and we can continue to move forward as a group of people who want the best in the world for everybody.
Dr. Seaman, you've built this bridge between many members of the Bethel community with the community in Old Fangok and South Sudan through your work over decades, through traveling across the world between these two different communities. The Bethel community over the years has raised money for the South Sudan Medical Relief Project. How has Bethel helped you do your work there or helped shape the work there?
Wow, that's a really hard question to answer in a few minutes. I have to first say that I really, really am honestly grateful that I get to work here. When I first came, I never thought I would stay, but of course, how could I not fall in love with Bethel? And when I left Bethel the first time, I was crying, but I'm so happy now because when I leave, I know I can still come back. And having the foundation of people that accept me back every time I come back, and a place that I know and a place that I think is one of the nicest places in the world to live, it's really, really a blessing to have. And the other thing about Bethel, of course, is all the support that people give, the support with the gala, the support with people who come across to South Sudan and help out. It's just a really lucky thing for me. I have to also say the people in Old Fangok, they're all very curious and they love all the pictures that I show. If you show a picture of flying into Bethel, it looks similar to a picture of flying into Old Fangok in a river delta. And people really love seeing that. They love to see pictures of fish camps. They love to see pictures of where we live here. So I think it goes both ways.
Dr. Seaman, is there anything else that you would like to share?
Mostly, I just want to say thanks to everybody. Thanks to you. Thanks to the people that work in Bethel and let me stay working in Bethel. Thanks to the community in Bethel. And thanks to the people of Old Fangok for letting me come and go as well. I wish I could say something completely profound, but I don't have that type of capability. Sorry.
I think you did marvelous.
I don't know. Thank you.
Dr. Seaman, it's always such a pleasure to talk with you, and safe travels.
Thank you.
Dr. Jill Seaman founded and runs South Sudan Medical Relief. A Bethel group is holding an online auction to raise money for the project on August 20th. To learn more, contact the Bethel Community Services Foundation. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK.